Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation is with Robert Mallett, Deputy Secretary of the Department of Commerce. I know you're a member of the President's Management Council. Can you tell us a little bit more about the PMC and the role of the PMC in this administration?
Well, the President's Management Council is comprised of the number two person, the deputies of the major cabinet departments and major agencies of the government. The thought was that the deputies should definitely be operating officers for the department, to care a lot about the management, the nuts and bolts and mechanics of how do you make an agency run. These are very large bureaucracies using a lot of the taxpayers' dollars. And I think the president wanted to have a very specific focus, and certainly the vice president has insisted that we have a very clear focus on trying to improve the delivery of services to the public and the management of departments. So thus we have the president's management council comprised of people in positions such as the one that I hold. It meets on a monthly basis, and there are any number of items that are usually on our agenda where we discuss with one another about the ways that we're handling fairly specific problems. We also try to work through some very serious issues that all of us mutually face and propose methods to change them. It's been a very effective group. It's a lot of helpful advice given and a lot of things we learn from one another.
The departments have different missions, but my sense is that the challenges every deputy secretary might be facing would be the same. Does the PMC bring that out?
Well, certainly we have different missions. Each department has a different mission, but the kinds of problems we face are quite similar. The first thing we do is we manage a very large bureaucracy. So we all have very significant human resource challenges and issues that have to be dealt with. We also have procurement. All of us procure goods and services, no matter which department you're in. We also have legislative items that may be different in terms of their substance, but we're all called upon to respond to the same legislators about the same sets of issues. For example, we are all sort of responsible for what they call the GIPRA, which is the government Productivity and Responsiveness Act. I forget what the acronym stands for, but the long and short of it is supposed to be an act that helps us put our strategic plans in place and performance plans in place so that we ally our missions and everyone in the department is sort of moving towards a singular goal. I'll think of what that acronym means before we get off the air tonight. But we all have the same kinds of issues that are challenging us, and that's why it's helpful to get all of the deputies together to discuss them.
Mm-hmm. I know this administration has attempted to transform the job of deputy secretary into the chief operating officer. Do you think future deputy secretaries will continue to act as COOs?
Well, that will depend, obviously, on who the leadership is. Certainly, President Clinton and Vice President Gore have made this a high priority of their administration. I think it's helpful. I think it has served the administration well in our effort to improve how we deliver services, and I'm certainly hopeful that it'll continue to be done.
You mentioned your responsibilities in managing people in the department. Can you tell us more about the changes you've made in the department's senior executive service, the SES?
Well, we're trying to make some very positive changes, and we've conferred with a number of people. You know, change in the federal government is rather difficult sometimes, but the senior executive service is the truly the management elite of the federal government. It was established in 1978 as a result of the Civil Service Reform Act, and what it envisioned was a senior corps of government executives who would be reasonably well compensated for government standards. They would be mobile and focused on leadership and management, rather than on their rather specific technical skills. Over time, some components of the Civil Service Act with respect to the SES, I think, have been lost. And what we're trying to do is revitalize the original purpose and intent of the senior executive service. So we have focused our initiative around the SES on a number of things. First, we really want to be focused on executive development, ensuring that our senior managers are real executives, real managers, that they get the kind of training they need, that they get the kind of professional development opportunities, that they get assignments that will help mine those skills. We've also tried to emphasize in our SES improvement initiatives succession planning. Do we have the right people in the right place as people begin to retire? Because right now we have almost 40% of our senior executives are retirement eligible. Go another 5 years, that percentage goes up to about 72%. So it would be irresponsible not to begin to think about whether we have people in the right line of succession. Are we identifying new people who are not yet at the senior executive level, but putting them in places where they can become candidates for those kinds of leadership positions? We also are trying to put some emphasis on performance measurement. How do we measure their contribution? How do they get rewarded? And we want to do a better job of communicating ideas and hearing from the senior executives about what's important. Now, that has a number of very, I think, critical details that I didn't mention. One is that we attempted last year, and I think quite successfully now. I think some of the executives were a little concerned about it at first, to return to some modicum, a small percentage of senior executives who were mobile, who got reassigned to different jobs so that we can make certain that skills don't atrophy and that we put some of our top performing managers into some of our most critical jobs. That was very important. You know, you can be a terrific manager at something, and sometimes you stand a job 10, 20 years, you just need to change. The organization needs to change. You need to change to kind of reinvigorate you. We did some of that last year, and I think it turned out very successfully, better than most people thought.
Many say that government service is getting less attractive over time. How do you respond to that?
Well, certainly there are some headaches that are associated with government service that all of us could do without. But it's still, by my money, it's the best job around. It's interesting. It's current. It's things that people care about. And it allows you an opportunity to see if you can make life better for people. That's what government service ought to be about. And if you're in there for any other reason, you ought not be there. In a position like mine, I know it's temporary, so I have a chance to do fulfill some of the administration goals. But also, the point is to improve services to the taxpayer, and that's what we're trying to do.
Thank you. It's now time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour.